The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.' The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Holy God, may all that we do, may all that we say, may the people we are bring glory to you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we begin Holy Week, as you know very well now. One of 52 weeks in a year, of the 52 weeks in a year, this one for us, for all Christians, is to be special. Actually, more than special, it's to be holy. A time set apart from the routine of our lives. It's to be a sacred time. It's no small thing that Holy Week begins with a celebration, not our idea, but directly from the Bible, Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And the triumphant entry we had today with bagpipes and celebration, I wish you could have seen the smiles on your faces as we got to see them from the front. Truly a wonderful occasion. And after all, the Bible, the Word of God itself, begins with a celebration, the celebration of creation. Creation begins with the very first words recorded of God, "Let there be light." And over again, we hear that it was good, it was good, it was good. And the Bible ends with revelation, with the words of victory of Jesus and the promise, "Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." In Luke, our gospel for this whole church year, the story of Jesus' birth announcement to the shepherds was a celebration. Remember that? "I bring you good news of great joy that shall be to all people, a Savior born to you." And then a whole host of heavenly angels appearing with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth among those he favors. I know it isn't Christmas. I know we're going into Easter, but do you recognize the sound of that proclamation? They have a familiar ring, doesn't it? It has a familiar ring to it, because today's is, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens. Holy Week begins with words of joy. Holy Week begins with times of celebration. But in reality, do we not get so caught up in the things that divide us in our world, like wars and seemingly unending conflicts all over the globe? Things in our nation, all we have to do is mention healthcare and the new healthcare bill. In our own ELCA church, the sexuality issue. In our own community, last week, the sentencing of a Lutheran nurse convicted of third-degree murder. And even in our own families, our own heartaches, our own challenges, our own disappointments, don't we get so caught up in those things sometimes that we forget whose world this is? And we really truly need days like today, like Palm Sunday, to remind us of the King who is unlike any other and the kingdom that is like no other. This is all part of a plan from the very beginning by God to save humankind from ourselves. Look again at the out loud, open praise in Psalm 118, the psalm for today. I've learned that it was Martin Luther's, one of his favorite psalms, and he wrote an extensive commentary on it while he was in exile in a castle. When he was fearing for his life, when he was down, when he was depressed, it inspired his faith, helped him out of his own weariness. It's no wonder, as we take a look at it a little bit now, it begins, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." And then it says, "Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever." Today, let Trinity say, "Its steadfast love endures forever." Let us say it together on the count of three. One, two, three. His steadfast love endures forever. Let every church that has ever existed say that. His steadfast love endures forever. It encourages us. It is not a call as Christians to be silent. And it continues in verse 19, "Open to me the gates of righteousness that I might enter." And do what? And give thanks to the Lord. A familiar verse. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us, what? Be silent? No, let us rejoice and be glad in it. You are my God, and I will give what? Thanks to you. You are my God, and I will do what? Extol you. And the words of the disciples on Palm Sunday, and we say it every communion service in our liturgy, they come right out of this psalm. You'll recognize, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." These are not verses, I think they could be, but on the whole, they're not for quiet reflections. They're outward expressions of praise to God. Praising God is a celebration. It is spoken. It's no wonder to me that the church has chosen Psalm 118 as its psalm for Palm Sunday and Easter. But the truth is, for us Lutherans, praising God outside of the formal worship setting makes us a little nervous. When people say, praise the Lord, we go, ooh, praise the Lord for a root canal that I just had. Ouch. Praise the Lord for this traffic jam that I'm now in. Praise the Lord that things are pretty dismal right now. Everybody's sick in my house. Hard to say, isn't it? We do think it's weird, and there was a flavor of time when people would go around and saying, praise the Lord. And we thought, not everyone is comfortable with or approves of praising the Lord out loud. We only have to look at today's gospel to see that. The Pharisees are telling Jesus to tell his disciples to stop it. Notice that the people shouting out praise in this version of the ride into Jerusalem in the Gospel of Luke were disciples, believers, not the crowds that we see in the other Gospels who shout praise this day and crucify him on another. It is believers who got the donkey for Jesus, disciples who sat Jesus on it, who threw their cloaks on the ground in honor of him and praised him out loud. I don't know how you're visualizing Jesus in this story, but I see him kind of smiling with a grin on his face, maybe in a tone of laughter, when he said to the Pharisees who wanted it to stop, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout it out. Now, we can hear that in a lot of different ways. We can hear that as God will provide a witness even though every mouth be stopped. We can hear it as, don't you get it? You can't stop this story. Some things just have to be said. You can't silence truth. Oh, maybe you can for a season, but not forever. Opposition to a Christian witness cannot succeed. History has proven that. There is something about Jesus Christ that cannot be silenced. But now hold on to your pews. There is something in us as Lutherans that can. Is Jesus silenced within us? Are we silent with our family, with our friends, with our coworkers, our neighbors, our school friends about Jesus? Do they know we are Christians? How will they know this is a special week for us, that it's sacred and it's holy, if we don't tell them? Will we talk about Palm Sunday, bagpipes, and all the celebration today with them? Will we be part of the many opportunities for fellowship starting Wednesday night and services Thursday and Friday? Will we tell them about that? Will we come? Will we invite others to join us? How important is it? Can we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord outside of our worship service today? Are we more inclined, rather, to take Jesus up on his promise? If we are silent, count on the stones, count on all creation to glorify and praise God. There's a quote. It's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, although research has shown that that might not be accurate. But I believe many of you have heard this quote before. It says, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. I think one of my sons has that in his office, too, and it has a ring to it. People like it. I liked it. But do the work of ministry, it says, but you really don't need to say anything about it. And I know it does mean that actions do speak louder than words very, very often, that we don't cram religion down anyone's throats. But isn't this also saying, arguably, that it supports silent Christianity? Don't people need to know the foundation for our actions when we're in ministry? That all we do is undergirded by and with and under the Word of God. Isn't it important to know that the Trinity volunteers who went for the first time this year to help in a women's shelter at James Street Mennonite Church this past week did not do that on their own, but as disciples of living Lord? That people in any ministry in our congregation and in our choir, in anything where we profess the name of the Lord, the foundation, the theological foundation, is that we're disciples of the living Christ. Don't people need to know that? So if we as Christians seek to openly praise God and communicate to others about our faith and not be silent, how do we do that? What is the sound of faith? One of my strongest memories from childhood is Good Friday remembrance. Now, my mother had a very firm conviction that the 3 hours that Jesus Christ hung on the cross were holy. Good Friday was a day off when I went to school. It was a school holiday. And school holidays usually meant fun. You put the two together. But my older sister, two younger brothers, and I were not allowed to play during these 3 hours. Instead, part of the time we went to church. At that time, in our inner city church, the Lutheran church, had a 3-hour service. And it was for the community, and 7 words of Christ were proclaimed, each by a different pastor in different segments. People could come and go, much as today when there are 3-hour services. We would go for at least part of it, but the 3 hours were set aside. I think many of you might have grown up with that as well. Some of you are smiling. You have. My mother didn't just say, "No playing now." She told the story of Christ on the cross. She spoke to us the words of life. Jesus suffered and died for you and the world. This truly became sacred time. That was communicated to me so strongly that I cannot not do it to this day. After our own service at noon on Friday, I will go with others to the 3-hour community service at St. James, where different pastors from our community will preach, including Pastor Mentzer, towards the end of that service, and different members of different congregations will lead the prayers, including Beth Hawk from our congregation, and we will worship together there. So we hear the sounds of faith through other people. Could have been parents, could have been friends or neighbors, but somehow through other people, their witness and their action, it buoys us up, it encourages us, it keeps us living in hope. But how else do we hear the sounds of faith? Truly, the more I get to know you, the more I learn of your sustaining the weary with a word. As our reading from Isaiah notes, many of you show up or call someone who needs God's sustaining word through you. Maybe you have been the recipient of such a moment. A precious, sacred, out loud moment. And I know I speak for the pastoral staff when I commend you for doing that and thank you for doing that. There are so many other ways that we hear the sound of faith. In the late 90s, my husband and our youngest son moved to Illinois. Mike worked at the Scott Air Force Base in intelligence for 3 years, and I used the time to work on becoming a licensed professional counselor. I think it's 2,000 hours of supervised counseling. And my supervisor, we live very close to St. Louis, was the head of counseling at Concordia Seminary, not only a seminary professor, but a pastor. He was called by a Vietnamese pastor in the St. Louis area to send someone to the apartment of two small children. I think the little boy was around 5, as I recall, and the little girl around 7 or 8, who had unfortunately walked into a burglary in their apartment after school. They were babysat by relatives who lived in another apartment in the same complex, and these children were just going back to their own home to get some toys to play with when others were in the apartment. Sadly, the children were tied up, and the little girl was bruised on her face. And so I spent several times with them in their home, working with them on this trauma that they had experienced, even developing a puppet show. Because sometimes when you can't speak of things directly, especially as children, you can when you're one step away through puppets. And I remember distinctly that our counseling group, most of us working on something, a master's degree or a license, would meet weekly and go over our cases. And I would share about this situation. And in one distinctive moment, the supervisor turned to me and said, "How are you different? How are you different because of this experience?" And I remember being caught off guard by that question. We were supposed to talk about the other people, were we not? Not ourselves. And it really caused me to reflect, to really do some processing of my own, helped me to become a better counselor. And sometime later, I remember going to his office. As a professor, he was doing some grading of papers, and he was sitting at his desk, and I was standing at his doorway, and I remember thanking him for the help that he had given me and the challenges that he continued to give me to become better. And he looked up at me, and this is frozen in my memory. He looked up to me, and he said, "You are worth it. You are worth it." Those words are so vivid in my mind, it just almost startled me. As a man of faith, himself a pastor and a counselor, the attention that he was given to me was not something that I needed to earn. It was a gift, unconditional caring. And as I look back on that story today, I think, isn't it the way with God? Isn't that it? If I had to give 4 words for what Holy Week is all about, I would say those very words. God saying to us, "You are worth it." Jesus entering Jerusalem, knowing what was ahead, looking out on them, knowing that he was going to experience unspeakable horrific pain, sacrifice and humiliation. Looking on those who were praising him, looking on those who were not, but saying in essence to every single one of them, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. You are worth it." I'm just going to ask you this week, as you look in the mirror each morning, this holy, sacred week, I'll ask each and every one of you to say out loud, "God is saying to me this Holy Week, you are worth it." Last week, Pastor Mentzer told of a vision that no one within the sight of our temple would go hungry or homeless without care and love of God that would be manifested through us. Think about it. If our steeple could speak, wouldn't it not utter those very same words to our neighbors? Not because we're nice people doing nice things, but because God has spoken to us and we have a theological foundation. Today we begin Holy Week. Of the 52 weeks in a year, this one for us, for all Christians, is to be special. Actually, more than special. It is to be holy. A time set apart from the routine things of our lives, a sacred time, a time to say out loud and with joy, "Praise the Lord," and to our most holy God, Thank you. I'm going to ask you now to each take your palm branches again and say those with me. I'll say, praise the Lord, and just follow that. I'll say another statement and just follow that. And let's really say it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
To our most holy God.
To our most holy God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I don't think I can ever look at stones the same way again. Amen.